Alrighty, guys, well, welcome back to another episode of the Onsite Inside Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today it's episode 46. Just want to make a little public service announcement before we get going. For some of you guys that are listening, we are getting the roof replaced in the studio at the moment, so please bear with us, but we've picked a good enough time, I believe, anyway. So we've got Jimmy Gray.
Yeah.
From Penelope Holmes. He's come in today to share his wisdom and his journey. And so, Jimmy, I want to thank you, mate, for coming on. This will be your first.
Is the first, yeah.
So, but, mate, before we get going down any sort of rabbit holes, do you want to just give our listeners a bit of a insight into who you are, what you do, what you guys, you know, how you started briefly, and then we'll just get going with it, man.
Do it, eh? Yeah, like I said, Jimmy Gray. So I'm the director of a resi renovation company called Penelope Homes here in Brizzy. But yeah, a bit about me. Back in 2010 sort of started. So I did the old school-based apprenticeships through grade 10, 11, 12. Yeah. Through a great local builder, actually. Graduated school. Smashed out the rest of the apprenticeship with him. So pretty fortunate enough that I had the one good quality builder who just... be under his wing, and
it wasn't that easy to get apprentices back then either.
Lucky it was, you know, it was the old dad was a landscaper. Do you know a builder? Here's a builder, reach out, go do some work experience, down that sort of avenue. And then, Luke was his name, he was a top notch builder, really, really good quality.
Still doing stuff, still kicking around.
Yeah, he is. Still on the north side of Brizzy, so still touching base with him and stay in contact, which is great. Went through with him, finished the time, moved on, went on the journey, I guess, as a carpenter. Probably went on the journey earlier than I would have liked in hindsight. I wish I gave him back a couple of year or two.
For yourself or for him?
Probably for him, mate. Yeah. Now I'm in his shoes and I see these boys come through and they're great lads and they finish and they just, the dollar signs pop in front of their eyes and off they go and good luck and
that's off to the races,
sort of thing. But I wish I could... probably in hindsight could have given him back a few more years, but the beauty of going on that journey was, you know, so I went on the journey for what, from 20 to probably 28, so just 8 years of being a carpenter. Worked for, you know, a couple of different companies, some for 4 years.
So during that time, you know, you I guess if we could wind it back, what was the driver in year 10 to even get your apprenticeship? Was it your old man with the landscaping side? What was the, did you trial around? Was it?
I was always pretty switched on in school. Like I probably could have, you know, pretty mathematically minded. So I loved that side of things. But I'm also an outgoing guy. So I knew I wasn't going to sit in an office. Funny that 15 years now, I'm sitting in an office.
Yeah,
but
it goes full circle.
No, I needed to be out and moving and working hard and sort of, so I knew that's the path I wanted to go down. Didn't exactly know it was chippy, but I just knew I didn't want to sit in an office and do it that sort of way. So
you just sort of trialed it and you went, this is, you know, I'm outside.
Yeah, and there was, it was a friend of, you know, a mate of dad's or a mate of a mate's. And so there was he was already known to me. That said, it wasn't easy.
Still made you work for it.
There were some rough days there as an apprentice where you
were you the only apprentice amongst that team during that period, or was there some that came and gone?
No, it was pretty good, tight-knit team, just that, you know, that typical lead carpenter who I just looked up to and thought, you know,
idolized,
this is the go. And then, you know, fourth year and a first year, and they just sort of, the fourth year he sort of moved on, and then I came through, and then by the time I got to three or four, another bloke came through. Just pretty traditional there, really, but learning directly, you know, even Luke was still on site then, you know, he might have been on site 30% of the week. So learning directly
with him.
And with a reno company that did a lot of, character homes, heritage homes, that sort of stuff. So
fiddly sort of stuff.
We were, you know, digging the footing, stealing up the trenches, doing the mesh, the slab, and then we'll screw the roof sheets down, like the whole way through. So you sort of get a bit of everything and realize what you do like, what you don't like.
I don't like digging holes.
Exactly right. But
you get to do a frame and you think, oh, this is great.
And then typical renos, you finally get to build a frame and then it's done within 2 weeks.
And then you're back to the next thing.
Back doing something else. But that was the apprenticeship side of it. And it was good, to be honest. At the time, you think it's hard and I'm not going to lie, there's not days you didn't sit on the end of the bed and think,
Was money ever a driver? Because this is a funny subject that, you know, I feel like you would face now, you know, fast forward 15 years. Same with me. And same with a lot of the lead guys that I've got as well. It was never really a thing. Like, it was shit. Like, everyone knew it was shit.
Yeah.
Like, you knew that you weren't going to be making massive money, but it was just the norm. Like, you just put up with it and you just did it. Like,
look, I chased it once I graduated and finished the time.
Yeah.
During it, mate, I just loved cars and fishing. Head down and face. It was just, how can I make more money to go buy more car parts?
Yeah.
Really? That was all I cared.
Yeah, well, that was it.
Yeah. I guess as an apprentice, the rate was set. That was the rate that my mother mates were on the same $6.50, $7. Yeah. Like, it was just what it was.
That's
like,
it.
It never even became a question, I guess, until I finished. I think
once you get your
ticket, you're like, oh, I've got my carpenter ticket now. Yeah. But before that,
what were some of the things that they instilled in you in your apprenticeship that would have stayed with you for, you know, your full time, like throughout? Because I feel like there's always a few things that guys remember about their apprenticeship that it's like adamant. Yeah. You know? What were some of the things that you got?
So it was. He was pretty firm, you know, like in the at the time you're thinking this is harsh.
Mm.
Look back on it now, but just, you know, I was liable, you know, as a kid back then, if you made a mistake, you were sent to the shop to go by and, you know, so he quickly instilled in your respect for the job too. You weren't just like, oh yeah, the boss will pay for that. Like, it was probably not allowed these days, but you know,
that's another thing too. Like, that was something that was same with me. Yeah. It was the same. Like, you, if you fucked it,
go buy.
You were either buying it or you were staying back
to do it later.
And do it later. Yeah. Not on their time. No. You were doing it on your time.
Probably not right, but it instilled in me. Like, it instilled pay attention. You know, most of our lads fuck ups these days.
Mm.
They're just not thinking.
Mm.
They're good enough. They just switch on. I've got to start thinking. So that was great. But he was really, being that heritage stuff, it was just the attention to detail.
Yeah.
That was really good to see. Like, it wasn't until you go on your journey later, you think, oh, wow, there's chippies out here that are just really slapping this together.
Yeah,
whereas we were taught, you know, if the builder's blog came out, it was frowned upon, you know, or the laughing joke, you were sponsored by No More Gaps, you know, that sort of stuff. Yeah. Like, it was more just, you shouldn't need it.
Mm.
If it is a mill out, go back, recut it.
Yeah.
So that was very much that type of work. And I think that was great to see. Now, you graduate and you probably get told you're too slow because you've got to go find.
Well, this is another balance thing that we'll touch on, because I feel like, see, I sit on both sides of the fence. I've come from almost a trifecta of different avenues, the renos, the builder, the contract space, and I can resonate from each individual thing, and there does come a point in time where it's a balancing act.
Yeah, for sure.
Because as you become a business owner, you do realise that, yes, you want quality to a degree, but at the same time, we don't have all day.
Time, like, is money.
Like, if, and my argument is always like, you know, if I had all year to build one house, of course.
You could
make that thing the fucking Taj Mahal of everything.
Yeah.
So it is a juggling act, and, you know, I still have yet to find, I feel like a lot of people claim for perfection.
Yeah.
I think, you know, perfection is, I think it's subjective to the person. What might be perfect to one person is not perfect to the other.
Sure.
So, you know, along my journey anyway, I've been able to realize that, you know, each job is different as well. And in that job, you've got those sub jobs that you do that is different as well.
I think knowing when to take time to
turn it on and then turn knowing it off.
You know, when the framing came out, it was all right. You know,
Go.
You know, there's you can sort of push the boundaries of quality there.
And I think that's something you learn when outside your time. And I think the contracting game, or not even the contracting game, if you're an ABN and you are qualified, you will eventually learn that. Because I think during your apprenticeship and during, if you're a PAY, like an employee, and you just transition through that, you've never really understood that line where you've got to be like, you know, yes, mate, like, we want to do it perfect, but we've got to get it done.
Yeah.
And then this, we can take longer on it, like, because it is, you're going to see it. It's a scene, like, say, for instance, you've got a hardwood handrail or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not getting gapped or anything. So it's got to be bang on, right?
Yeah.
So, you do have to pick and choose.
I think as a kid, too, back then, you never saw the cost control spreadsheet. So you didn't know what was costing dollars, what wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's something we could do with the kids these days is show them the cost control spreadsheet and go, you know, this has gone over here because we took too long there, but...
And then you get frowned upon because you're like, it's not, it shouldn't be their issue.
Yeah. It's so like, I think quality still has to come first and speed can come later.
Yeah.
You know, especially for the young boys. You know, yeah. If they're taking 100%. Twice as long, I don't mind yet.
Yeah.
Speed can come.
The speed will come.
Yeah. Just get them quality down pat first. So that, I think that was probably instilled. Like, I do remember the hurry ups and those sort of things, but you were never yelled at as much, nearly as much for hurry up as you were for to pull that off and go do it again. Like, it was more do it properly, not do it fast, which was, I think, a good way to start. Yeah.
That's something that, like, in the nearly 10 years we've been in business and I've had plenty of apprentices come through, it's the one thing that we say all the time. When guys are starting out, it's, you know, the speed will come.
Yeah.
You will get faster over time. And if you don't, we'll tell you that, like, you know, I've had moments in time where I've seen a guy that's been doing the same thing over and over and over and the speed hasn't increased. And that's usually when I say, listen, man, you're acing this.
Yeah.
You can go faster. Like, I know you can.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? You know you can as well. Yeah. Like, and that's where the leadership sort of comes into it to be like, listen, man, like, okay, now you've been doing this for like 8 months.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually go faster. Yeah. And that, when they see that, they you know, depending on who you're talking to, obviously, but they take that and they run with it.
Yeah,
it turns them into be a better tradesman as well. Right, like, so. But anyway, so moving on from that, when you finished out your apprenticeship, you said that you wish you gave your old employer a little bit more time.
Yeah.
Did you go straight out on AB? Like, tell me, how did that actually look?
Yeah, see, it's just typical. You finish your time, you know, someone dangles a carrot in you and has come, you know, so you see those dollar signs. And
so you went
your eyes
as an
light
employee?
Up. I think the first job I left for was still paid as an employee.
Yep.
And back then, though, it was like, oh, you're an employee. And then the next guy, you know, I think, funnily enough, that next company sort of closed their doors and the partners went separate ways and they sort of, you know, this avenue and this avenue. And it was very much who you're going with sort of thing. Yeah. So we split there, but then that was just the old, oh, I'm not doing employees, we're doing subbies. And that started the subby.
Okay,
Again, gone are those days, right, where you could just be a – you put some poor 22-year-old kid on a subby and make him deal with his own tax and super. But so that started that. So then that was pretty well 22. And then – so, yeah, a little bit of jumping around, but I enjoyed it. Like, one, you're a subby, so start taking initiative. Mm. And two, you learnt that, hey – the way that they're doing it isn't that great and the way that I was taught was better or vice versa.
Mm.
Hey, this is way better. Like, and that was just different guys having different styles of construction. So I think it was still really good to sort of go on that journey and work for maybe, it wasn't heaps over 8 years, four or five different companies.
Yeah.
But just to
but
see.
But during those companies too, you have guys come and go and you pick and choose. Like we, you know, for me anyway, when I was coming up through, it was all, you know, I picked and choose what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, I would do, you know, there was a point in time where I was working for a bathroom builder, one of the biggest guy bathroom builders in Brizzy. Like, he's not massive on socials, but this guy was pumping.
Yep.
And I was one of his, like, only two carpenters. And I still remember that, you know, I thought I'd done it all. Worked in Renos, I'd done it all. But then there was just certain things that I'd see and I'd be like, mate, that, I've never seen it like that. That's good. Well, that's good. And the way that you were doing it or what they were using to do it, I was like, I've never seen that before. And then I just took it on board.
And you learn that, right? And then you just implement that later in life. And it might not be for 5 more years.
Yeah.
Then you go back and go, oh, that's right, when I was working for...
Yeah. But if I was just pigeonholed in the one thing, setting my ways, doing that, this is the... believing that this is the best way to do it, it's like, I just don't think you come with that, that experience.
And you need to broaden your sort of idea of different ways you can do things, right? So, no, that was terrific where I could just go... And then you'd look... You saw things you didn't like doing, you know, like we were doing, one builder was doing real nice high-end stuff, but it was a lot of, you know, architectural designed slabs and and I sort of, that's where we went, no, you know what, my interest is timber.
Yeah.
I enjoy dealing with the old heritage homes and the Queenslanders and lifting them and, but there's no way to learn. You got to try them all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you go. Even did a small bit, you know, 6 month stint doing schools.
Yeah. A lot of those architectural builds too with those cantilever concrete thing structures and that. A lot of the programs and the way the sites are run, it's like commercial driven. The CMP steel frame, like that, it's essentially that.
Yeah.
Like it is a house, but it's
So I think that made me sort of fall back in love with the craftsmanship of carpentry and that side of things. So that was definitely sort of where I sort of wanted to take my journey anyway. So then you push yourself in the right direction. So that was sort of, where are we? 20, 25, 26, 27, those sort of years were just
And home life, and how, when did all that start? You know, you mentioned your kids.
And yeah, Mrs.
Was that
kids.
All sort of kicking off at around that time? And you're still contracting?
So I'm only 30 now, so we haven't gone too far. I met the missus when I was 21 at the local pub. Again, it's nice to have a bit of an old school story where you sort of just met
No
Tinderella.
No, there
was no Tinder there. It's just, there was no Tinder back then. Yeah, sort of ran into each other and that was it. Mm. The kids, a couple of kids have popped up over the way, so four and a two-year-old. So I think the first daughter, she popped up when I was still just a carpenter.
Yeah.
No, and then it was okay. So
yeah.
Number two came along and we went out there. So that was about 25. And then I sort of got in touch with the last bloke I ever worked for. Mm-hmm. He's actually been on here, Brownie, Ryan from RKB. Ryan was the last guy I worked for.
Yeah.
I supervised for him for about 3 years there. Mm-hmm. And he was really good. And you hear a lot of builders talk about it. He knew I was there to learn how to be a builder.
Mm.
And I was doing the cert for, I was getting my license, I was doing my supervisor experience.
Did you also tell him that during?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is another thing, and I guess for the guys that are listening that are in that space, like we've got guys that are within us as well, where don't hide it behind a closed door and try to keep it to your chest. The best advice that I can give you is, if that's something that you want to do, is you need to voice it to your employer, whoever you're working for, because don't think that, he's going to get rid of me because that's what I want to do. If anything, he'll probably actually lean further into you
and
actually give you more.
Yeah.
And actually expose you to more.
And he got me behind the office doors, showed me the spreadsheets, showed me this is why you're doing it. You know, gave you that leash to go, if you, this isn't all, fun.
There's more to it than just what you're saying.
He was essential in that whole side of it. But it was from the start, I'm after my builder's license here. I'm doing, I think it was back then, it was Skills Tech TAFE, and I was doing night school 2 nights a week. It took you 2 years to go and get a builder's license, and
took you ages.
There was no 10-week course.
I think I ended up getting knocked back. I got knocked back through QBCC like three times. And
that's a whole nother journey.
Yeah,
you got your cert four, then you got to try and apply for your license, and that's
I think my binder when I sent it in, the final one was would have been maybe an inch or two thick.
Yeah.
Fully detailed, exactly the job,
the jobs
photos.
You're on, the photos, descriptions, what you did.
There's everything. In that, there's a lot of companies out there now that are selling this thing about they'll help you put it together, but they're not cheap either. And back then, I didn't have a shit ton of money.
I think master builders were the only sort of mob that.
But they would help you, but they wouldn't do it for you. No, they'd just say, these are the things that we would recommend you to do, and then you would still have to do it. So for me, it was like, as I said, I didn't have $4,000 to drop, or $3,000 just to drop on an if. I just had to do it. Yep. So I was like, you would have to go on that journey to fucking
spreadsheets. Yeah.
They should make it part of the course of your Cert 4 or your diploma or something.
Yeah, to do it.
They should make it like a module that everyone sits in on at the end of it to make it enticing. Because anyway, I'm going to let everyone know my diploma, when I did my diploma building construction, that was the same. It was like a 12-month night school. I had 4 nights a week for a year. Basically, we started out with 25 guys. By the end of it, there was only six of us.
Yeah, they're dropping off. Yeah.
Everyone dropped. Yeah. I still remember the last class we did, it was with Steve. I'm still keeping contact with him through Master Builders. It was there was only six of us in the classroom, and it was we were literally all just sitting there, and we finished it, and it was great, and everyone got their thing. But then, thinking about it now, I feel like if they made a module at the end of a Cert 4, I skipped the Cert 4.
Yep.
You can't do that now.
No, you can't,
So I've only found that out recently back then.
You could just go straight to the diploma.
Straight to it. Yeah. So I was like, fuck this. When I ran QBCC, I was like, can I do this? They're like, yeah.
Because what's your diploma? Mid-rise?
Medium, yeah.
So it gets you straight there. Yeah.
Straight there. So I was like, and it obviously your medium covers your low, and if you get your opens, it covers everything.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'm just going to go straight for my diploma. So I did that. And then, I still think that they should have the module at the end to help. And at that module should be, listen, this is how you should set out your thing, whether they have the experience yet or not, because their argument's going to be, well, you don't even have your site supervisor's license, so you shouldn't even be applying anyway. But I think you should just at least show them and or create a template or something.
Because I'm hearing rumors now that I haven't applied for a builder's license. I got mine at that 26, 27 years old. But I think now you've shown pay slips and proof of employment. And, you know, back then it was like, you've got to show that you're actually, now it's like, you've got to show you've been a supervisor for 2 years. So,
that was another thing that I fucking learned. So when I originally went, I remember I sent it all in. I gave it all to the fucking, to QBCC. I was like, I'm in. I'm done. I've got the license. It's all there. I remember I was doing fucking, like, I worked for so many different guys. I was doing favors on weekends for like trying to, like, I'd already worked for him, but then I was like, listen, if you can just help me, like, give me this. And he was a busy dude. Yeah. Like, I was like, I'll do whatever you need to do. I was at his house for free, just doing whatever I had to do to grind it out to get what I needed. And I sent it all in, and then they fucking rang me up and they go, yeah, this looks fantastic. Looks great. But unfortunately, you're not even licensed to even do what you've done. And I went, what do you mean? They went, well, you don't have a medium rise supervisor license or a low rise supervisor license. Yeah. And I was like, so what are you trying to say? They're like, well, everything that you sent us, you shouldn't have been doing, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck. So like, back to the drawing board 2 years later, literally on the dot. I was like, fuck it. So I got off the phone, lodged the thing. So like, but you don't know. Like, I didn't know back then. And there was no social media about it. There was nothing. I was just...
But even then, you could only ring up master builders maybe and ask for advice, but there was no sort of how you do it. Like I said, there's companies that you say will do it for you. Hardest part then was finding all the, going back and trying to find all the proof as well, find all these photos. Like I think for my boys, like I've got a supervisor now who, he's doing the same thing. He's here to learn and to get his license. But with things like Wonderbuild and Building Site now, they keep a site diary every day.
Mm.
So all their proof is just naturally
going
to be. They won't ever have to.
Yeah.
They just, you know, export it and away you go.
That was the favors that I had to do. It was like, I had to say to him, like, listen, like, can you send me copies of this, this, and this? Like, I need photos of this, this, and this. It's like, because I had nothing. There was nothing. I was like, I'd been on the job. I'd done it all. I spoke to the clients. Everything was there.
Did it?
But I needed, like, the contract. Yeah. I needed
fucking. But they almost wanted you to be doing things you shouldn't be doing. Like, you needed to give, you know, give proof that you have, you know, liaise with subcontractors. It's like, well, I don't have that license to be able to do that yet. I'm trying to get that. Yeah. But that was, look, getting a bit carried away, but that was beauty of Brownie. That was sort of, he gave me that option. And then a big thing too is, I think it gets taken for granted, is when you go and put references in, I personally wouldn't just sign off on anyone who asked me for a reference. Mm. Like, I think we sort of have an obligation to keep the standard
100%.
Up here.
Yeah.
So credit to him for signing off on me too and saying, hey, yes, I do think because, you know, I haven't had it yet, but if someone, you know, just asked me for a reference out of the blue, you'd be like, oh, well, don't know if I know you, like,
All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode.
Because that was the other thing too, and that's why I had to scratch their back to be like, listen, like, they knew what I did, but I still wanted them to, because at the end of the day, that I already knew, like, one of them rang me and said, hey, so we've got such and such here. He's put all that through. That's great, but tell me your thoughts.
Yeah.
And so it was like, regardless of whatever you had on that thing, if that guy wasn't going to answer the phone or wasn't going to get back to him, or if you did it all without them knowing and they rang and said, oh, nah, he didn't do that. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
shoot the whole thing down and start again.
They'd be like, okay, no worries, scratch it and then be fucking done with it.
So I think the reference was was huge, right? And then I still remember that when it came in the mail, because you had to wait for them. You know, it was like 12 weeks. Once you submitted it, you didn't hear anything.
Yeah, nothing.
They
take the application fee, though.
They take application. Yeah. That's, at least you know they've started. They've looked at it. I remember that.
Like, they'll do that straight away.
Yeah, they'll take the fee and then... And then it rocked up and, it was a sort of bit of a proud moment. You've got it says carpenter and builder on it.
And you think, oh, man, I'm going to be a rock star. Yeah. Like, this is going to be great. And then the next hurdle happens,
Well, that takes you to building coaching, right? Like, it's like the Cert 4.
Mm.
It's sort of touched on a little bit of everything, but it's almost like they need to go, right, now I really think you should go get a builder's coach or someone who's going to coach you through client communicate how to be a builder, you know, like, they teach you contracts and how to not get sued and not you know,
to a degree though, sort of. Like, it's so vague, you know,
yeah,
it's like, how can you mitigate this and certain clauses to look out for, but
yeah,
you know, fuck, like, you're going to get done, you're going to get done.
Yeah, it's, so at least there's some really good builders coaches out there now. And, you know, so that'd be a huge advice of mine. And even if you're just starting to think about getting your license, I'd be jumping on board one of these sort of training organizations. Or, and because you are sort of the best thing about those are the builders in it. Yeah, it might not necessarily be the bloke running it, but it's definitely
the community that you're in. Yeah,
you can reach out to, man, again, 10 years ago, imagine if you could just, these days everyone's willing to share information.
Yeah.
Back then it was like, oh, well, I went through it.
You take my business.
Figure it out. Yeah. And now, like, you make a call. Like, I'd still probably call Brownie once a week.
Oh.
You know, like, just watch, what should I do here? What do you reckon? Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll reach out. And
guys will ring me about, like, certain contracts, or they've got issues with this, or they're in New South Wales, or they're coming up to Queensland, or whatever it is. And it's like, I don't care, dude. The market's big enough.
Yeah.
Like, you're not taking anything from me.
No.
Like, and you're always like, oh, you know, I didn't know if I should reach out to you. I'm like, dude, what's your problems?
Yeah.
Like, tell me.
I'm here to help.
Probably seen it. And I'll just tell you, I'll send you whatever I've got, whatever you need. Like, I'm an open book.
Yeah.
I'm not hiding anything.
We've had a few guys in here similar. Like, we even do brekkies these days. Like, a few of us local resi builders just go for brekkie. And it can sometimes be a bit of a bitch sesh, but generally it's just, these are the hurdles I've got at the moment.
Yeah.
And then one bloke will go like, oh, well, I faced that. This is how I got over it. And like, but even just being normalized and hearing other people's struggles makes you feel less alone and isolated. Oh. It's just like, all right, well, I've got some people around me I can talk to. Because you can't always talk to the missus or the family. Like, you know, it's building. It's very much its own niche sort of issue.
But also, it's like you know, I've sat in here and spoken about, like, my thought process with all that. And, you know, you want to use your partner or whoever it is as a sounding board, and you still want them to be involved, but at the same time, you don't want to be putting everything on their back.
Yeah.
You know, because it's rightfully so. They don't deserve that either. No. It's like, you know, you don't want to be that husband or that partner that's always coming home and telling them about the negatives.
Yeah.
And you want to tell them the positives
and
too.
It's not always negatives.
Yeah. But like, that's for a lot of cases, that's what a lot of partners get.
Yeah.
Is they only get
the whinge.
The whinging. The, this guy didn't rock up when I needed to, fucking this client's not paying.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, so I've definitely had to, even for me, I've definitely had to fucking catch myself to be like, all right, like, that's just business,
and
though.
And as much as these brekkie groups can talk about the whinging, it's now not as concealed to talk about the wins. You know, like, we're all profitable businesses. We're not in business not to make profit. Like, that is the goal.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's starting to understand, like even clients, like, if your business is profitable, if the builder you've got is profitable,
they're doing something
your
wrong.
Your project's going to go better.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want a builder who's
we can go down the rabbit hole of pricing clients, like, oh, I've got a $300,000 budget, but they're actually got $1 million house.
Yeah.
And
I don't actually think we've got past me at 27 yet either. So. Yeah.
We're getting there. But I guess, you know, let's jump forward a little bit. Penelope Holmes.
Yeah.
We talked about the name. Let's go through the name.
Yeah.
Talk to me. So why Penelope? What was the, how did that
It's a good one, Penny. So while being a chippy, about 27, got myself a dog. Every builder needs a Kelpie. So, well, it's chippy at the time. So Penelope or Penny was the Kelpie. So she was my first dog. We'd rock up a site. Everywhere I went, she went.
Everywhere
I went. She was just a shadow.
Yeah.
One of those, nothing against the dogs I've got now. They're still great dogs, but sorry, Paisley. But Penny just didn't need teaching. You could be on a main road job and that girl just would not wander off from sight. She'd probably go sit with her nose on the footpath of the main road and just not budge. She just knew that was where to go. You know, once she'd have enough, she'd go sit in the shade. You didn't even have to worry about it. So she was just a
really good dog.
Just a top-notch dog. And every site we went to, the client knew Penny. All the subbies knew
she
Penny.
She was like a mascot.
She was always there. If she wasn't there, it was, where's Penny?
You weren't there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you could go to the shop to get Smoko, tell her to stay, drive off, and she'll be back on the site still when you get back. Like, she was just I don't know. I didn't teach it. She just sort of was it. So sort of had, you know, Penny, the young girls, the kids, and then, yeah, getting ready to sort of launch the company and unfortunately lost her at about 4 years old, which was far too soon. And just, broke your heart losing your first dog. Like, you're meant to have these dogs for 10, 15 years and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've lost her after four. So
dedicated the company.
So then thought, namesake, why not? You know, let's run it on. Penny, bit of a a bit of a feminine touch, I think, on a on a bit of a male dominant industry.
It's true.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
I still get people who think I'm Penny. I still get a lot of phone calls. You know, Jimmy's
I'm not going to lie. Brie was like, when I said, I was like, oh, I got a podcast today with Penelope Holmes. She goes, oh, what's she like? You know, she like? I'm like, no.
It's like called Jimmy. Yeah.
I was like, no. It's Jimmy. That's,
So we still get lots, right? Yeah. We still get that all the time. Yeah. But fair enough. It's a company named after a dog's name. But yes, that was the namesake of Penny Holmes. It's also just, it's a bit of fun. What's a name, right? Like, so may as well be something.
That's it. Like, I feel like a lot of guys in business, like, this is a little side quest, but business names, right? Everyone, oh, what should I call my business? And you get so bunkered down with what the name of the business is going to be. It's like, the business is nothing. Yeah. Like, the name is not, it's relative to the business. Yeah. So it's like, you pick any fucking name. It doesn't matter. But if it's a juggernaut, like, prime example, Amazon. What?
Yeah.
Like, yes, it sounds, everyone hears that now, they think of this conglomerate, it's massive, right? But back then, fuck, if you came in and said that, you'd be like, oh yeah, like weird, but okay. Like,
I always try to compare it to like, early 90s Seattle rock bands.
Yeah.
They all meant nothing.
Yeah,
like nothing. Pearl Jam, Silverchair, like these are...
Just nothing.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
Now it's just a household
People
name.
People know,
Really that was all it was. It was don't get bunkered down.
Yeah.
I didn't really love the idea of having my name...
Yeah,
in it or attached to
that's
it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I just thought it'd be nice to have something that's
standalone,
separate. Yeah. It is the company. Mm.
Same with me. That was always something that I never wanted to be like.
No.
Corey's fucking da 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 da.
Yeah.
I wanted the business to stand on its own two feet essentially.
Yeah. And I've had that time to be able to get that. I'd been given that feedback from other builders saying if I could go again.
Mm.
I would detach my name from it. Like, I detached my initials and I was like, okay, well,
yeah.
I'll take that on board. Because it is, and that's where we are now. The company isn't me anymore. Mm. It's much more than just me.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, there's a lot of people involved. Yeah. So
delivering, breathing,
it's its own thing. That was about, 2020. So, it would have been about 27 years old.
When you get your builder's license, you go out for dinner with your missus, you think this is fucking fantastic. Yeah. I'm a fucking superstar now. I'm taking over Brizzy. You get the name, you get the company, you get the ASIC thing, everything's done. What was then your first sort of avenue with clients? Because that is the golden question that a lot of guys want to know.
It's a learning
and they always go, how do I get my first client? Or what avenue, you know, I've had guys in here say they've gone to architects, started in doing bathrooms, then decks, then pergolas, and it was that natural transition. It was, you know, what was yours?
So I think always and I say this to my apprentices, I've never turned down a cashie. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday morning, even if I was hungover, you're doing cashies. You're hanging doors for friends of friends or fitting out horse stables or just doing whatever it was on a Saturday, not knowing that probably was broadening your contacts and
you started your client base,
right? Uh-huh. And then it was a deck for someone. This is all Saturdays, and I think I got the ticket. I was still just working for Ryan, knowing that when this there will be a plunge eventually.
Yep.
You expect that plunge to probably be, I'm going to go do my own job for 3 weeks. I'll come back and sub you as a carpenter for a while. And he was really open for that. And I think that's a great way to
do it. That's great, because not a lot of guys offer that either. Like, no. You're in or you're out.
So, that was great. But there was – it never eventuated, unfortunately. It just took off.
Yeah.
But I think, a bloke that I did a deck for reached out and said, I'm looking to do a renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it for me? In hindsight, way too deep, too early. on a cost-plus contract throwing –
yeah,
just 10% on top of everything when probably losing money. And
We're making money.
So an absolute shit show, to be honest. Yeah. We built it fine. We had a great relationship with the client, and there was no contracts, or it was just an Excel spreadsheet that I didn't even know softwares existed. You were just keeping track of expenses and sending the client a bill each week, and he was paying it. I still remember these days. He'd send me an email saying, Jimmy, you've given me the GST price and then charged me GST, like, so doubling up on that. Like, you just don't know what you're doing, right? But that was the beginning. So that job, you know, that was still typical Northside renovations where they don't have legal underneath. You know, you're putting beams in everywhere, and bathroom renos, big decks, patios.
Yeah. But you were approached, and it was, you know, you had the opportunity then to either turn it down and sit in there and say, no, this is too far for me, like too much of a risk. Or you could just be like, you know what, I'm going to fucking do this and I don't care if I lose 150 grand.
No.
But I'm going to do the right thing by the client, get the job done. Yeah.
And I was probably overly confident at the time, probably far too confident, but you just jump in. Being cost plus, it didn't get me into too much trouble. I still remember then, I had a, he's still with me now, Ryan, he's actually my supervisor now, but he said, when you go on your own, call me. And I called him, and he's been here since that day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was that job. And then you did the bit of advertising, bit of, you know, community notice board, that sort of thing. But mainly my my client database from Cashies got me through for about a year. Just doing bathroom.
But it's also like, and the cashy thing, right? This is something that I speak to a lot of guys that want to go out there. During my apprenticeship, I literally still remember very vividly, I was earning more money on a Saturday and a Sunday than I would earn during the week, hand over fist. Easy as. Like, on an 8-hour on a Saturday, I'd probably earn more cash on that one day from Joanne down the road or whatever. I wasn't stinging her. It was just that's what I was charging, and I could get the job done quick and fast and good. And then that would cover like way more than my weekly thing. But then, as I say to a lot of guys, don't just look at it as that figure either. Like, those contacts that I had, as you said, started out your client base, and they do mature.
Yeah.
Right? It matures over time. That little person might speak to this person, then this person chats to this person, and that was started out as a bathroom, now they turn into a reno. And then do they all stay with you for the full duration? Like, no. A lot of the guys that I was doing cash work for, applicable now? No. But don't forget, I'm 10 years down the track. It's like, you know, but during that first growing phase, that was like, you know, those first 2-3 years, I was riding that wave of those clients and those people, and I was just doing fucking anything and everything.
For sure. So that's what we did. Plus the cashy thing as a kid.
Yeah.
Was great because it paid for your Saturday night.
Yeah.
So you just an extra few hundred bucks cash in hand back then, a hundred bucks cash in hand to go out all night. So you weren't actually touching your income. You could use
kids just want, they want a fucking week, they want to work less.
Most Saturdays it was at least 7 till 2. You go and do that Saturday, but not, I didn't think of it as building a client base, but that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
In the end.
You were doing it without knowing it.
Not knowing. So that was really good to have that. And then one client in particular reached out, and then it never stopped, actually. Yeah. And I was waiting for it to stop. I wasn't scared of it. If we could fill 6 months of the year with my own jobs and then reach out to the building network and go subby.
So is that was another question that I was going to start going down, because a lot of guys get nervous in business, and like, you know, builders primarily, right? Yep. They got a ride if a typical builder's got 6-7 guys on board, you know, they do one build, you know, or two builds a year, but a lot of the times the builds don't always line up perfectly. No. There's always that fucking downtime in between, like, this one's hasn't got the civil ready yet or whatever. And it's like everyone always frets, like, what the fuck? Like, how am I gonna cover wages and stuff? So, like, at the start, we used to do the same thing. I used to basically have my own contracted jobs, whether it was fixed price or cost plus, whatever it was. And then if in those downtimes, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever, you lean on those other people in and around you and say, hey, mate, listen, I got 4 guys. Do you need a hand?
Yeah. But they get snapped up too. Like,
And we usually float, and I would just float that around or, you know, I wouldn't recommend it, but I did go volume game as well for a little bit and contract down that path to fill.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what are you going to do? You
and know? I remember as the carpenter being, probably not the right term, but farmed out, I remember hating it. But it also was good for you because you could go and go, all right, well, this is how other companies are doing. Actually, it's pretty comfortable where I am right now. Or I am getting looked after here. Or you could see, you know, so we've done that still. You know, we've got, again, Brisbane's building network is really good and connected where you can flick an email out to 30-odd builders.
Oh, we do it now still.
Boys, I've got 4 guys free for this date to this date. Mm-hmm. Who wants them in it?
Get snapped up.
Snapped up, quick. Yeah. And it relieves the pressure from me to have to keep those boys busy. I think we could go down communication soon, but you just tap to them, boys, this is it. You know, the plasters are in. Unfortunately, I couldn't line up a smaller job to do. We've got nothing to do here for a week or two. You're going to go out. Do that. If you'd like to take annual leave, more than welcome to.
Yeah.
This is the time. We're about to be quiet. We're about to get hectic for the back end of the year. So it works well.
Yeah. And at the start, it was a lot harder than what it was now. Like for us now, we manage, we forecast, like we're anywhere between, you know, 6-9 months, like fully booked. So you can see troughs like coming way ahead. So it's a lot easier than to see it. And it's the same sort of thing. Like when we're running, you know, you could only imagine when you got like 25 people on wages, you fucking, nothing ever works. You could have all the jobs in the sun, all the, you got all these projects lined up. It's fucking great. But all it takes is 1 week of rain or this contractor didn't come and bang, pushes your pipeline out like 6 weeks. So like for us, if we can catch it, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
Put out emails. And they bang. Some guy will just snap them up. They're like, yeah, man, I'll take him for fucking, you know, we need to push on this or we need to push on that. So it is great, you know. So don't, you know, for the guys that are in that spot that you, if you're thinking about doing it or whatever, like you've really got to get creative with it. But, you know, you will find something.
And you don't need a full pipeline to go and have a go. Yeah.
No. It can be you never will anyway.
It can be super broken up.
You never will. No. And it's like,
I agree.
If you're waiting on the fucking thing to be like, I need to be 6 months fully booked every single day before I take the jump. Well, mate, you're never going to take the jump because it's never going to work like that. Yeah.
And when you first go out, overheads are low anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Do an overheads calculator. When you first go out, your own best thing you'll ever do, figure out actually what it costs to get out of bed each day.
Mm.
But they'll be low because it's just you generally, maybe an apprentice. But you can just have a lull. It's not the end of the world. You can go subby for 2 weeks and a month.
Just keep the lights on.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's not
that. You don't need to be making a shit ton of money. If you're keeping the lights on over that 3 month period, guess what? You haven't gone out of business.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're still in the game. Well done. You know what I mean? Like you're still in the game.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like if you let it affect you and you're like, nah, fuck this. I'm not like the whole mentality of like, you know, I'm not working for nothing. It's like you don't have to work for nothing.
Yeah.
But like, man, you're gonna have, if you're gonna be in business long enough, there's gonna come a point in time you're gonna swallow your pride.
I wish I could tell that to my older self though too, right? Like there'd be so many sleepless nights where you're mulling over things that you think were the end of the world, but they're not.
Yeah, no. Like,
it doesn't.
Contextually though, like it's
at the time.
You know, this the same you know, so I would say the same ATO bills I get. Like if I got ATO bills now that I got 10 years ago, I would honestly probably be in my fucking on my knees. Yeah, like, you know, it's I still laugh at my wife when I got my first bass bill. It was like 10 grand or something. Yeah. I was like, fuck, I'm going to pay this. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, put on the plan.
Yeah. Well, like back then it was like, fuck, I don't have it.
Yeah.
Where's it going to go? And like, you know, but then when you're paying six figures, it's like, it becomes, you know.
So that was what? Yeah. 2020 sort of thing back then when we first launched, but it just,
so it just sort of happened naturally, essentially.
It did just happen naturally. You know, to this day, we haven't had a lull, which is terrific. Again, if we did, it's not the end of the world. But
And so what? So talking about today, what does Penelope look like now?
Yep. So we've recently gone through a bit of growth. So we've split. We're still in the residential renovation sector. So now these days, unfortunately, we'll still take a bathroom or a deck on, but it's got to fit into a schedule where we can squeeze it in. But now we've grown, so a team of 10, a couple of crews, supervisors, carpenters, apprentices. You've got the office space, admin in the office. So it's definitely grown. That growth sort of happened over the last 18 months. So I sort of set a rule for the first 4 years to go, just keep it simple, stupid, and just don't go, you know, you just heard people growing too quickly and then, you know, falling off.
Yeah.
So that was sort of instilled with me. So we just kept it pretty simple for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then about 18 months ago, pulled a bit of a trigger and said, hey, let's do it. And that's a whole different ball game when you start having, you know, office spaces and stuff. And that's sort of the hurdle. Well, yeah, the hurdles. That's the hurdles we're sort of going through, growing pains, you'd probably call it, where we go through now. And
well, growth costs money too. And I think a lot of guys underestimate how much that actually is. You know, we've gone through growth.
Yeah.
You know, we constantly go through growth. So, you know, I think people get a false sense of, you know, they don't really get it where they, if they see a company like yours that goes from that to 10 to like fucking this, they're like, oh, he must be breaking it in, mate. Yeah. Like, when really the reality is that, yeah, you're making money, but that money's just being reinvested.
Back in,
back
right
in
now.
Back in, back in, yeah, back in. Like you're just feeding the beast over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
And then you will let it just return on the event. Like you'll let it cook.
Yep.
And then like any other fucking normal business owner, you go, fuck it, let's go again.
Let's go again, right? Yeah. And we set those limits. So 2 years, we'll simmer.
Yeah.
You know, you do it and... Mm-hmm. and
yeah. You need to let the business mature in that pocket and turn the corner.
Yeah.
You know?
And I've really enjoyed being able to promote from within. That's really been great, you know. So one of my leading supervisors, my supervisor on site was my first year apprentice, you know. Well, he wasn't the first year apprentice. He came to me as a third year apprentice, but he's now 7 or 8 years in the industry.
Yeah.
And he was ready to sort of step up and run some jobs. So
and he comes with the culture and everything.
And he knows Penny Homes. He knows our morals. He knows the brand. He knows what we're after.
Mm.
We've had to bring in others as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's been really good to see not only my growth, but then also the team's growth because they're all with us. We're fortunate enough now to still have not let anyone go, actually. Mm. So we still have that same team.
That's great.
That's come through from the start to now. But like you said, it's got its challenges growing. Like that's a whole. You go from a builder swinging a hammer to a director of a company which has nothing really to do with building anymore.
Mm.
Like where
it's numbers driven and performance. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mate, my morning consisted of setting up scribes for the admin so she can look after payroll and look after your VAS and sort of starting to.
Yeah.
Pass them off to her and so you do become a lot more business minded. But I think even I've grown with that and I now enjoy that.
Yeah.
You know, I do miss a day swinging a hammer with the boys, don't get me wrong. Like I see them, I rock up to site and see them laughing and giggling and having fun in the sun. You think,
yeah, it's good.
That looks fun, but it takes you to, that's not where I need to be right now for the business.
And what was your, I guess what was the reason for taking it to that? Because you could have easily, and I guess this is another fork in the road that a lot of business owners get. You could have easily stayed at 3-4 guys, swinging a hammer, just doing one reno a year or one and a half renos a year, a couple of decks and fucking whatever. But what was your driving force to scale to that ability where you are now? I would say, you're licensed to build it, but you're really a business owner.
Yeah. Look. I do love numbers, so I'm a spreadsheet guy. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the spreadsheets. You look at your numbers, you hit a bit of a glass ceiling where you go, right, don't get me wrong, sit here forever.
Mm-hmm.
But to break through and sort of step away, that was the next sort of challenge. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the next challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. As the builder on site, you can do it. You'd sort of got it down pat, but then you get a bit antsy, you're up for it and you take it on.
I think a lot of guys too is that they want to build the business to a point that it gives them the life they want.
Yeah.
And you, in order to do that, the business, and it's contextualized to each business. Don't get me wrong. I know guys that run 4 guys that can do the same revenue that I do.
Yeah.
Right? But you do need to get it to a point that it can give you that.
Yeah.
For me, it was time back with my kids.
Yeah. Well,
that was the biggest lever for me to be like, listen, this is great. Like I'm making money, I can be on site, it's fucking fantastic. But, I got no time for my kids. Yeah. Like I'm there Monday through to Friday and a Saturday. It's like at that point I'd be better off. And the reality check for me was like, you'd be better off just being a chippy, working for someone else.
Yep.
That was the conversation that me and my wife had. It's like at that point, and this is what a lot of guys don't understand as a business owner, it's like at that point, I may as well have just been a normal chippy.
Yeah.
Because there was no fucking, what am I getting? I was getting an extra, I might have been making a little bit of a profit.
Very least a supervisor for someone.
Exactly. Really. Like I could have just been doing that. So it was like, okay, that's not what I'm in this game for.
Yeah.
Like I haven't done everything that I've done just to do this. Like, so that was the lever to be like, okay, fuck it. Like, let's go. Yeah. And then we drove and, we've turned the corner and everything like that. But
so we're in it right now. Like I probably didn't really fully understand that when we grew, how much of it doubled. So I've never worked more in my life than I did these last 3 months. Like you just just everything doubled, right? Yeah, yeah. You don't even expect it to double, but your cost controlling doubled, yeah. Your data analysis, everything doubled.
Yeah.
We're over that bridge now where we've brought in people to be able to help with that, but it's a huge goal of mine, and this might sound silly, but it's just being my kids going to school next year. I want to be able to pick them up at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
I want to be able to close the laptop and go and pick them up.
And you should be able to too.
Yeah.
It's so like you deserve the right to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you stress all day, you put your balls on the line, you take the risk, you carry it. And like, I do not feel guilt at all.
No.
You know, we do what we do and like we pay our boys well. We do everything well for the business and for the, you know, for the guys. Well, and if you want to go and pick your kids up, fuck, you should go and do it.
Like and my team, they're fantastic, and they know.
Yeah.
I think back when I was younger, I didn't quite understand how many hours the builder was doing.
Mm-hmm.
My boys are very aware these days. Like, I don't message them after hours. That's their time. That's fantastic. But they know full well that, you know, you might be in the office at 4:30 in the morning. Like, your hours are being done. They're just not 7 till 3.
Yeah.
You know, they might be a little bit different, or you're logging on at 9 after the kids, you know, whatever it may be. And that's a big push for mine lately is, you know, we've set those hours.
Yeah.
You know, try and get that balance with family time. I enjoy the work, so don't get me wrong, but you have to be present at home too, or else
there's no point.
What's the point?
What's the point of like having it all? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it's with building the business and scaling and everything like that, like, you know, it's not for the faint hearted, that's for sure. It is a fucking journey, and I think a lot of guys do underestimate on how difficult that actually is. Yeah. And what my biggest lesson from doing it, you know, I've done it now twice over, is that the team and everything like that, like with that hour scenario about when you're first starting out, and a lot of guys will get this when they first jump off the tools or they're whatever, you feel that the team is like judging you that you're not getting anything done. What can really combat that and where you can actually sit in the pocket is where, you know, your team sees the business grow.
Yeah.
Because that fucking growth doesn't just happen on its own.
And
you got to put the work in, you know, the stuff that needs to be done.
And they came the whole way with us. Like, so, you know, they were there at the start.
Mm-hmm.
We had Master Builders Awards, you know, what was that, a few weeks ago? We're all there, all dressed up. You know, took out Rising Star, which was, you know, and that was it. Like, that was an everyone award. You know, that wasn't just a personal award. That was like, well, we were there, but hey, this is all for, you know, not only are we growing, but we're building quality. And then they are, you know, the awards are what they are, but it is good to be acknowledged and go,
100%.
This is working, this is on the right path. And 4 years in, so still getting started.
That's it, mate. Yeah, still going. Another 4 years, it'll be 30 people.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even think about that now. But
I've had guys sit in here like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had guys in here say, oh, no, I mean, I'm pretty comfortable. And then fucking 12 months later, they're like, hey, man, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah. We want to keep our clients happy. So work on that communication. Have everything...
Yeah.
Have everything ironed out.
You'll do that thing, typical business owner style. You'll get it dialed in and you'll be sitting there, you'll be done. And all the clients are happy. We could probably double this again.
Maybe. I'll look back on this video and have one laugh.
It'll be good. But anyway, Jimmy, we're on time.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you again, man. I think this one has been, you know, for your first one, mate, it's been fucking fantastic. I think we got a lot of golden nuggets in there for a lot of guys. So thank you again, man, for coming on. I really do appreciate it. So,
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. That's it. Catch us on the next one.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode, as this will be one that you don't want to miss.